My work computer now has as its homepage www.goodnewsnetwork.org. Some of the good news stories are about large international events, good news. Some of them are micro events, which are individual acts of kindness. And by contrast, Jesus has given us a parable in Matthew 25 of persons who were in bad news circumstances. They lack food, freedom, and fellowship, health, adequate clothing, and water. You know the list that Shelley just read for you. And I have come to think of it as Jesus suggesting that the ones who showed up to meet their needs are newsmakers, good newsmakers. Let's pray. Lord God, the one that shone light into the darkness in which we live and the light which we see. Might we hear your word, the words that I offer, as light and as guidance for us in this darkness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I consider Matthew 25 to be simply one of the texts which illustrates one of the core truths of the Bible, and that is that lives of poverty and isolation for us, the beloved creatures of God, are anything but what God desires. The good news is when we Jesus followers, create places where God's love and care meet the need of body, soul, and mind. And such intersections between God and need, love and need, are not only newsworthy, they are of such importance that Jesus frames them in terms of salvation. They aren't just heartwarming, but they are a crucial part of following Jesus faithfully in the fullest possible way. The Matthew 25 challenge of last week perhaps illuminated just a bit the reality of the real world in which many live. Invited for one night to sleep on the floor, people who sleep on the floor all of the time and sometimes without a roof on their heads. I won't expand on those. This morning, all I'm going to do is I want to talk about real life and real people, and I'm going to refer to us, all of us whom are extraordinary, I'm going to refer to us as ordinary people, however. I want to tell you four stories. They're very different, and I'm offering these stories to highlight how ordinary people like you and me can play a key part in bringing Matthew 25 to life. My suggestion this morning is that in real ways, you and I can be good news makers. So I offer you these four stories. The first story is in part a horrible story. It wouldn't be proper for me to share the details. After World War II, there were Mennonites who were still remaining in Eastern Russia. They were desperate. They were suffering greatly. And so almost for lack of a better thing to do, they were in Eastern Russia. They headed east out of Russia across Asia. And this is the part I will not describe in detail, all of their suffering, the deprivation. Suffice it to say that many of the men on that journey were killed. Every single wife and daughter was assaulted repeatedly along the way. It was a terrible story. But somehow they had heard a rumor that in China, there were Mennonites who were connected to North America. And against all the odds, those who managed to survive found those Mennonites. That was a unit of MCC volunteers, Mennonite Central Committee volunteers, doing post-World War II reconstruction work in China. For my senior history paper in college, I wrote the history of that MCC unit. 20 and 30-year-olds, approximately 40 ordinary Mennonites, small towns across the country. Furthermore, they did not just arrive there on their own, but funding for MCC at that time, the way that they could get there, the way they were sent, came from ordinary Mennonites back home. People like us came on Sunday morning, the offering plate was passed, and they put money in that offering plate. Maybe not thinking about where it was really going. So to return to the story, those battered and hopeless refugees were taken in. It is a miracle in its own telling that needs to be told, which I won't take the time for. Papers were secured such that they could emigrate to British Columbia, and their descendants still live there today and are thriving. Two of those MCC volunteers were ordinary Kansas Mennonites named Vera Yoder and Edwin Schrag, who were later to marry and become my parents. And in the late 1990s, my parents, Eddie and Vera, visited those survivors in British Columbia and were told with embraces and with tears, "You are angels. You are God's messengers." John chapter 1. In Christ, the light shines in the darkness. And so somehow light shone for them as well. And my parents are both gone to their reward. And while this text is a parable, perhaps those two ordinary Kansas Mennonites did hear these words as they saw Jesus face to face, "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these." 20 and 30-year-olds. People gathered in churches like ours, offering plates, going about life. Matthew 25, come to life. The second story is also from Russia. I told Wilma Dick this morning this would be better told by you or by Mary. It is the good news of a potato. C.J. Dick, now deceased, Wilma's husband of many years, C.J. Dick's family found itself stranded in the chaos and the desperation of post-World War I Russia. That's where C.J. was born. And there was famine in the land. Those Mennonites were persecuted again horribly, and they were hungry. C.J. was less than 1 year old when this story is told. But there came one day an intersection of human need and God's love. It was a shipment of food from the Mennonites in the United States, and they were ordinary folks like us. None of them were heroes. But they had heard of the need, and they responded. And so the responses came in different places. A central committee was formed to coordinate and deliver those relief supplies, the Mennonite Central Committee. I myself will never forget hearing CJ's older brother, Peter, who was 5 at the time of this story, tell about the day he was given a potato, and he said, "I couldn't believe it. I had an entire potato, and it was all mine. I had never imagined such a thing, and that I could eat that whole potato today." And Wilma told me about 45 minutes ago, if those supplies hadn't arrived, CJ would have starved to death. Time passed. That family made it with his assistance to Canada. Then, interestingly, another World War took place, and so CJ and Peter themselves became instrumental after World War II in helping equally desperate refugees to new homelands in South America. I want you to hear that story. It is the good news of a potato that was given to a hungry little boy, the least of these, along with food for his family. And if the story of Peter and C.J. Dick and the blessing that they have been around the world were to be fully known, we praise God from whom all blessings flow, inasmuch as you do it to the least of these. Really, my third story is one that you can just as easily imagine for yourselves as I can tell it, and I'm talking about the recent hurricane destruction. Houses obliterated, flooded, people are stunned. This story is actually happening over and over and over again as we speak. There's volunteers that are showing up from Mennonite Disaster Service. And they are saying, we're here to help. And there are boxes that are being handed over, disaster boxes from the Midwest Food Bank. Again, literally, as we speak on the road, there are semi-trailers from the Midwest Food Bank carrying 2,200 emergency disaster boxes, enough to sustain a family for 2 weeks. Over 50,000 boxes have been delivered so far in the last month since the first hurricane and now the second one, and they continue to roll. Lord, when did we see you? Here's a box. Your family has what it needs for 2 weeks. Here's a box. 50,000 enactments of Matthew 25. But it's a story of ordinary people. So Janae Augsburger and Adam and Caleb have served for several years now to coordinate work groups that come and pack those boxes and do other work at the Midwest Food Bank. And they're extraordinary, but they're ordinary. It's Janae and Caleb and Adam, and it's all of you that have shown up for those work days and have stood there for a couple of hours. And maybe someday you will ask, Lord, when did we see you? Our lives are ordinary. Our lives are here in Central Illinois. Our lives are easy. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, one hand at a time, one box at a time, one act at a time. It turned into a long arm of fellowship that says, here, you have nothing, but you are not alone. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We might also ask Jesus, when did we see you? There is the answer. The final story I wish to tell you happened on Thursday late afternoon. I happened to be alone in the church. I was just about ready to go home. The phone rang and somebody said, I wanted to know, can you help me? Oftentimes we get those calls in way for requests for things we can't fulfill, like utility bills and so forth. I was totally prepared to say no, but I said, what do you need? This person said, I'm starting a job tomorrow and I need a pair of steel-toed shoes for work. The outreach committee was having a meeting. I took those three and I said, hey, I got this call. What do you think? Does this sound legit? And so forth and so on. Josh, the person asking for help, took the bus to Walmart, where I had agreed to meet him there at 6:30. I had in my hand the church credit card. We went down the aisles and there were steel-toed shoes. I said, hey, I found them here, and they were $46. And you know what he said? He said, I think there's some cheaper ones here. I was told I can get them for $35. So he kept looking and we found the $35 pair of steel-toed shoes. I bought them, and then rather than him taking the bus back, I drove him home and I heard his story. His sister had died in Chicago. His nephew needed care. He overstayed his time there such that he lost his job here. He had now found this job. The friend who was going to help him with steel-toed shoes, a requirement of the job, didn't come through, and he was starting work the next day. And Josh lives 3 blocks from here on Bryan. He's our neighbor. And my point is not what a good guy I am. Look at me. You did this. That $35 came from the church's indigent fund, which we ordinary people all contribute to. Perhaps asking, when do we see Jesus? Lord, when did we see you? Matthew 25 in action. So that's the point of all of these displays here, this little service fair that we're doing. When you drop food into the widow's cruse for Mark Alsine to deliver, come in, drop off a bag. It is a holy moment. When Jeremy Hobb goes into prisons with the Saints softball team, and when Joe Culpepper goes into prisons with the Great Banquet, or when Phil Dick serves on the board of Joy Care, an amazing prison ministry, and Joe Jancy helps teach those classes in prison. And I've talked about the Midwest Food Bank, and we might not have anyone at the table there for the Illinois Mennonite Relief Sale, need I say more, Habitat for Humanity, the child sponsorship that Chris talked about, Home Sweet Home Mission, where Joe and Ruth Haney were instrumental in helping to build and expand the food pantry space there, and on, I'm probably forgetting one of those booths. This is just a quick visual reminder, nothing fancy. Stop and visit with them. What do you do and how do you do it if you'd like to become involved yourself? The point is that the holiness of God, the intersection of God's love and real lives, happens again and again and again. Lord, when did we see you? Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Amen.